Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. This is episode number 43, and today is August the 14th of 2016. We're halfway through the month of August already. Can you believe it, everybody? This is T-Ray, your host, as always. And with me as co-host is absolutely no one. It's really unfortunate, but actually our buddy Joe has got a bit of a sore throat. He's been sick for the last little while, and so he is taking the week off. So our hearts are out to you, Joe. I hope you're feeling better real soon, buddy. But I'm going to be doing this one solo. We might get a bit of input from Zorni a little bit later on, but other than that, it's the T-Ray show from start to finish. So if you don't like my voice, if you like Joe better than me, or whatever, you know, you can tune me out. You can wait until episode number 44 next week. If not, please bear with me as I cruise along through the week that was in the Hanshin Tigers schedule. So number 43, as I tend to do every week in the intro, I talk about some of the number 43s in history. We really got nobody important or of consequence there. So our current number 43 is a young pitcher named Koki Moriya. I think he is about 22 years old, and he is married and has a kid already, and he has made one start and a couple relief appearances for the big squad. That came this year, and none of it went particularly well, so he has been trying to refine his game on the farm, and I wish him well, but you know what? It looks like we're all, you know, full. Doesn't look like there's a lot of vacancies for him right now on the team, although maybe making him a strong mid-reliever might be an idea for us. Anyways, you know what? That's all we got for the intro because it is so hot in Japan right now. The high school tournament is going on at Koshien Stadium and everybody is roasting there. But it's some fun baseball. If you have not checked it out, I highly recommend. Find it online. You can find it streamed in different places. If you are in Japan, of course, go to NHK any time of day. You will find some good Koshien baseball high school action. It's good times, and I'm hoping that my team down in Okinawa, Kadena High School, can make some waves and go deep in the tournament. Anyways, we're going to be back in a bit to talk, not Olympics, not high school baseball, but of course, none other than the Hanshin Tigers. So, let us begin with our week and how things went. We are first looking at our matchup against the Hiroshima Carp, and we went into Zoom Zoom Stadium with a 5-13 record against these very Carp. Not very impressive, is it? Well, sadly, it really doesn't get any better as this week goes on. So on Tuesday, we bring Yuta Iwasada to the mound. They bring Chris Johnson to the mound. And Johnson has had our number for the last season and a half. He's really just beaten us down good. And Iwasada, you know, went through some struggles in the middle of the season there, but he was really starting to turn things around. So we were hoping for a good one here. And actually, in the first two innings against the Carp, he allowed zero runs, so it was pretty impressive. One hit and zero runs, struck out four guys. It was looking real good. Our Tigers, for their part, were unable to put any points up on the board right away. However, they did wear Johnson down, I think to the tune of 52 pitches after two innings. So it was looking like we might be able to knock him out of the game early. Unfortunately, our guy got knocked out in a serious way in just an ugly third inning for him. Single, double, hit batsman, RBI single, bases loaded walk, RBI single, walk, and then he finally got pulled, but the bases were still, I believe, yeah, the bases were loaded. We bring in reliever Ryoma Matsuda. Remember that Iwasada still has not recorded a single out here. Anyways, Matsuda walks the first guy that he faces, and then he gets a ground out double play. Then he walks another guy in order to face the pitcher, Chris Johnson, who actually had a double earlier in the inning, and he struck him out. So that was the end of the inning, but it took 11 batters to get through. The Carp got 5 runs, so it was looking pretty ugly. It was looking like game over, and our guys actually fought back, though, in the top of the fifth. We started with a leadoff triple from pinch hitter Seishiro Sakamoto. Then he was knocked in by Egoshi on an RBI double to right. That was down the right field line. Then one out later, Kano hit an RBI single to right field. So now the score is 5-2. We're finally starting to put a few chinks in Chris Johnson's armor. His chinks, an offensive word. It has nothing to do with China. Get over it. So then we move on to the top of the sixth inning. And actually, we start with a couple of hits, Haraguchi and Gomez. And then on an sacrifice fly from Fumiya Hojo, we get another run. So now it's 5-3. Unfortunately, we couldn't get anything beyond that, despite having a bit of a threat going there. Anyways, it's 5-3, so it's a 2-run game. It is looking a little bit better. However, in the seventh inning, we bring in Hiroya Shimamoto. Actually, he pitched the sixth inning as well, but he got lit up in the seventh inning. He allowed a single, then he walked a guy, then he struck out a guy, then an RBI single, and then a home run, a 3-run home run to Seiya Suzuki. So now it is 9-3, and this one is pretty much over. In fact, one more run just to kick us in the, in the private parts there. They got a leadoff triple in the bottom of the eighth, followed by an RBI on a ground out to third. And so this one ended 10-3 for the Carp. What an ugly beatdown, and what a terrible way to start our time in Hiroshima. Especially after the first two innings showed promise, and then especially after we fought back with a few runs in the fifth and sixth innings. It was just really disheartening. But I feel bad for Yuta Iwasada. I don't know exactly the details, but he was deactivated soon after the start. I don't think it was for his poor performance. I think part of it is because we only have 5 games next week, and so we can go with 5 starters. But I don't know. Maybe he's got some kind of minor injury, or maybe they just want him to, just take a break, and he'll miss his turn in the rotation this coming week. So that was that. The Carp ended up with 10 hits in this one and 10 runs. We also had 10 hits, but we only got 3 runs out of our 10 hits. Of course, they also got 7 free passes from our pitchers. So they had a ton of base runners as well. Let's move on to Wednesday's game, and we bring Atsushi Nomi to the mound, and they are bringing Yuya Fukui, who is not having a great year, although I have heard decent things about him. And Nomi, for his part, is having a kind of up and down year, but at the same time, when you look at his numbers, his ERA has never been below 3 in any given month, and his ERA has never been above 4 in any given month. So he's pretty steady in that respect. Well, in this one, actually, he did not start off so well. He allowed a couple of hits, and then on an error by our third baseman, Fumiya Hojo, I think a run scored on that. So, anyways, it is 1-0 heading into the second inning, and our Tigers fought right back, which is great to see. A couple of hits, Gomez and Egoshi, followed by another sac fly RBI by Fumiya Hojo. So it is 1-1 after the top of the second. And Nomi keeps rolling, man. He goes clean, allowing a couple of hits in the second, one in the third along with the walk. But then after that, he was really solid the rest of his night, which went through 6 2/3 innings. Anyways, in the top of the sixth, though, we ended up getting a leadoff or a one-out walk from... do I have to finish the name? From Toritani, followed by a single by Fukudome, and then Gomez was hit by a pitch. And after a strikeout, actually Hojo hits an infield single to shortstop. It was a close one. I mean, it was a chopper, and he made it to first base safely, but it was nice to see because we were able to score the run on the play. Had he been out, it was a two-out single, so if he had been out, we wouldn't have scored. And that was really important because that was the deciding run, actually. 2-1. We only got 5 hits all night. but we managed to bring two guys across home plate. They had 9 hits for their part, but could only get 1 run. They had another chance in the 8th inning, and that was against Mateo when they got a couple of guys on base. In fact, a hit followed by a double play, then a walk and a hit. So they actually got 3 guys on base, but only 2 at one time. Still, they threatened, but Mateo closed the door with a strikeout. And then, in for the save. Oh, my goodness. Kyuji Fujikawa, what are you doing, man? After getting the first out on a grounder, he walked a guy, struck out a guy. So it's 2 outs with a runner on first. Things are looking okay. And then he walks a guy. And then he walks a guy. And his base is loaded. We only have a 1-run lead. And he's facing Takahiro Arai. And if you have been living, you know, in a cave, under a rock, under the ocean, with your ears plugged, you may not know that he has absolutely killed us this year. Otherwise, you are already familiar with that. So QG goes down 2-0 count, and it's looking like he might walk him. It's looking like he might allow a hit because, you know, now it's a hitter's count. Well, fortunately, he induced a pop-up to right field, ending the game. It's 2-1 final. We take one in Hiroshima. Woohoo! So really the story of this game, though, was Nomi's great pitching as a starter and QG's awful pitching as a closer. 34 pitches to get through that final inning. And as I said, 3 walks. So even though I named him my pitcher of the month for July, you ain't getting it in August, QG. And we're going to see why a little bit later on in this week as well. So anyways, a hard-fought win. And we'll take any win we can get against the Hiroshima Carp because they have been that good against us. Let's move on to Thursday's matchup, and we are going to bring Shintaro Fujinami to the mound, which is great, and they're bringing Aren Kuri. Kuri is a number 5, number 6, number 7, I don't know. He is not one of their top starting pitchers, but they brought him nonetheless. And, you know, Fujinami was actually looking pretty good at the start, other than in the second inning when Ryuhei Matsuyama, who is absolutely owning Fujinami, hit a home run to right field. So it was a solo shot, fortunately. So it's 1-0 for the Carp. And other than that, Fujinami was actually quite stellar through the first 5 innings of the game. I think he only allowed 1 more walk the rest of the way. So it was 2 hits and a walk through 5 innings. And for the Tigers' part, in the top of the 4th, after a couple of walks, Haraguchi knocked one in with a hit to left field. And then in the 5th inning, after an infield hit from Fujinami, actually he was knocked in by on a Toritani double. Or actually it was Takayama. Sorry, Takayama grounded out, which got Fujinami off the bases. And Takayama was on first, and Toritani hit an RBI double, and Takayama scored from first. Then in the top of the 6th inning, Gomez hit a solo shot to left field. So now the score is 3-1. That was Gomez's 20th home run of the year, which is great because last year he only had 17. And it's looking great, except in the bottom of the 6th, Fujinami's starting to look a little bit shaky. Walked a couple of guys, and so it was looking like the Fujinami of old. 2 walks and 2 strikeouts in that inning, and his pitch count is getting a little bit higher, but they decide in the top of the 7th, you know what, we can keep him in a little bit longer. He steps up to the plate, strikes out, and Takayama and Egoshi follow suit. And then in the bottom of the 7th inning, everything fell apart for the Tigers. So Fujinami allowed back-to-back singles to lead off the inning, and then on a sacrifice bunt to move them over, Fujinami first bobbled the bunt, and then he threw it, I think, 10 feet over our second baseman's head. He was actually throwing it to first base, but the second baseman was covering. That was Hojo. One of these guys scored. The other one advanced to third base. And then after getting a strikeout, so now we have got 1 out. There's a chopper to first base, and Gomez fields it and tries to throw it home, but he throws it a good, you know, 2 or 3 meters wide. It looked like he tripped as he threw it, and I don't understand how that happened. But anyways, a couple of runs scored there. So now it's 4-3 for the bad guys. And then an infield single later, we get a sacrifice fly for a fifth and crushing spine-breaking run. So the score is 5-3, and after that, the Tigers had a little bit of a chance in the eighth inning with two runners on, but Haraguchi hits into a double play, and then Gomez strikes out to end the inning, and that was all she wrote. 5-3 final in this one. The story of this one, of course, the two errors in the seventh inning that really cost us the game. Because if things had played out as planned, it would have been one out with runners on second and third if the bunt had been successful. Then a strikeout on Iwamoto for the second out. And then Gomez wouldn't have thrown home on that chopper to first. It would have been the third out of the inning, and we would have gotten out scot-free. But instead, we lose the series 2-1, which is really unfortunate, especially the way it happened. And, you know, as if Hiroshima needs more reason to boast about their dominance over us. I mean, they beat us in a walk-off Sunday game at their stadium, I think it was a couple of months ago, when Nakatani and Shunsuke ran into each other when they were trying to catch the final out of the game. So, you know, talk about embarrassing ourselves in Hiroshima. And I can't imagine what Hiroshima fans think about this Hanshin Tigers team, just that we're a bunch of losers in the field and we can't close out games. And all they have to do is stand up at the plate and make connection with the ball, and we'll hand them the win. Because that's what happened twice now on their home turf. So real unfortunate. Fortunately for us, that is the end of 9 straight games on the road. As you remember, last week we played 6 in the Tokyo area, and we beat the Bay Stars 2 out of 3, and then we lost 2 out of 3 to the Swallows, and then here we lose 2 out of 3 to the Carp. So we're 4-5 on the road in that short span. We get to come home and face the Chunichi Dragons. Now, against the Chunichi Dragons, up until this point this season, we are 9 wins and 9 losses. We actually lost 4 straight against them earlier in the year. We got swept in their dome, and then we lost one at home as well. This was going to be a different story. We are bringing Randy Messenger to the mound on August the 12th. I was at this game, and it was the day before Randy Messenger's birthday, so happy 35th to Randy. And it was also Tigers legend Gene Backe's 79th birthday, so happy birthday to you as well, Mr. Backe. Anyways, I was at the game as I was last August 12th. Last year, Messenger did not get the win. The team got the win, but he didn't get the decision. This year, he was going to do everything to make sure that he did. So let's take you through the action here. Actually, the first 3 innings were really quiet on both ends. Randy allowed an infield single to Vicieto in the second inning, and it was just a dribbler. And that's it for the first 3 innings for him. And for the Tigers, they had a couple of walks, but they got no hits in the first 3 innings. And that was against Valdez, who I just found out is 39 years old. So he's been around the block, obviously, and this might be his last year. Anyhow, in the 4th inning, Randy cruised as well, but we actually got a leadoff home run from Taiga Egoshi. He smoked it to left field. So 1-0 for us. And then 2 innings later, Kosuke Fukudome said, "Hey, little kid, if you could do it, watch what the old man can do." And he smashed one to right field. So 2-0. And then in the 7th inning, Hojo, who batted leadoff, brought home Nakatani, who had led off the inning with a single. So now it's 3-0. And then in the 8th inning, after a Fukudome leadoff walk and a Haraguchi single, Gomez comes up and hits one of them home. He hits Fukudome home, so now the score is 4-0. Meanwhile, Randy has been cruising, and the only hit he has allowed up until this point is another dribbler, almost of the exact same nature, to the exact same guy, to Vicieto. So this guy that has been killing us with home runs is just like hitting these weak, soft grounders to shortstop and getting 2 hits. And then he finally allowed a quote-unquote real hit in the top of the 8th, but it was a single, and then he also walked a guy, and that was it. Randy comes in the top of the 9th to try to complete this game. Strikes out the first guy. Then, unfortunately, he allows a single. He walks Vicieto. And then, just a moonshot by Ricardo Nanita. I thought this thing was going to hit the top of the Kyocera Dome. But it actually ended up hitting the right field wall. It was a double. It scored a run. Randy was pulled because he had already now at this point gone 139 pitches. And Mateo comes in to mop things up. And on a grounder to first base, another run scores, but then that was all she wrote. So 4-2 final. Randy with the big win. It's his 10th win on the season. Mateo with the save. I think this is save number 13 for him. The Tigers looked great. I mean, they didn't get a ton of hits, but they had three extra base hits, including two home runs. So the three heroes of the game were Messenger, Egoshi, and Fukudome. And it was fun to listen to their hero interview because Randy was just being Randy. And then Egoshi had said, oh, you know, it felt okay when I hit the ball, when I hit the home run. And then so Fukudome mimicked him kind of when he was asked how he felt when he hit his home run. But anyways, more important than that, really, is that I was on TV. No, I'm being a bit facetious. But anyways, during the hero interview, I had put up my sign that I made, which was a Happy Birthday Randy sign. And so the camera actually panned over to myself and the guy that I went to the game with. So for my 3 seconds of glory, there I was, dead center on the TV. Pretty cool stuff. So the Tigers, yeah, they get that first win of the week. It was really exciting to see them pull that off and break out of the funk that, you know, the sour mood that they put fans in and maybe themselves in Hiroshima the day before. Next day, we are going to bring Koyo Aoyagi, the rookie, to the mound, and he is going to face Jordan Noberto. And Jordan Noberto has owned us this season, and Aoyagi has been, you know, not the most controlled pitcher. He's got a ton of walks on the year, but this one still played out quite well in our favor. Actually, in the first inning, Hojo again leading off with a double, moved over to third by Yamato. Then on a fielder's choice, Egoshi brings him home. Actually, an error was charged to Vicieto because he threw it like Gomez did on Thursday. And so a run scored on that. And then another run scored when Gomez was at the plate. He took ball four, but it was a wild pitch. And so another run scored. So 2-0 for the Tigers after one inning. So this gives Aoyagi all sorts of stuff to play with. He actually walked one guy and two guys, pardon me, the rest of the way. He only walked two guys. And he only allowed one hit. And that was a leadoff hit to Yohei Oshima. So one hit and two walks through 6 shutout innings for our boy Aoyagi. That was it. He had 100 pitches after that, and they decided it was time to pull him. Meanwhile, the Tigers actually gave him another support run, and it came in the form of a Fumiya Hojo solo home run to left field. We're hitting the home runs at Kyocera. Why don't we make that our home park? So now the score is 3-0, and the Tigers actually continued to do a little bit more damage. In the 7th inning, Yamato hits an RBI double to center, a beautiful hit. It was actually right it was off the wall. So that was pretty nice. And then after Fukudome led off the bottom of the 8th with a triple, Takayama brought him home 2 outs later with a single up the middle. You'll have to excuse me, I missed the Dragon scoring there. And the Dragon scoring took place with none other than Kyuji Fujikawa on the mound for the top of the 8th inning. And again, what a hot mess. He allowed a leadoff double, and it wasn't necessarily his fault, I suppose. I mean, it was a pitch out of the zone. It was high and outside, and Takahashi just took it for a ride. So double to left, and then after a ground out, he allowed an RBI single. Then he allowed another single, and then they scored another run in there somehow. I forget how, excuse me. Anyways, they got 2 runs. So the final score in this one was 5-2, and Mateo came in for the save, his 14th on the season. It was a clean 10-pitch inning for him, so good on him. By the way, Kyuji only lasted one-third of an inning, and Shimamoto had to come in and mop up for him, so I think that's a little bit embarrassing for Kyuji that had to happen, but really, I mean, if we'd kept him in, we may have lost this game, so glad that we didn't. So in this one, everybody, Hojo had 2 doubles and a home run. And one of his doubles was a pull to left. The other was opposite field. His home run was also a pull ball. So he just had himself just a great game. And, you know, Hojo's really been stepping up really well. So in Friday's game, as well as this one, Saturday's game, and also the one that we'll talk about in just a second, and that would be today, Sunday's game, Hojo actually played shortstop. He took Toritani's place as the starter. And one of the reasons for that was that the Dragons brought left-handed pitchers to the mound for all three games. So Hojo did a remarkable job in place of Toritani, and especially in this Saturday game. I really think that was the story of the game, other than Aoyagi just having an incredible start, and only two walks, as I said, and just allowing the one hit in the top of the first. So excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. All right, let's wrap up today's action then. We again are going to face the Dragons, and they are bringing Shinnosuke Ogasawara. He was the winning pitcher at last year's high school Koshien Summer Tournament. So he's a 19-year-old rookie on the mound. He is winless so far. And we are bringing Suguru Iwazaki to the mound, who's really been up and down this year. You know, he's kind of still suffering from the same problems that he's had his whole career, really, which is stamina, which is, you know, once the sixth or seventh inning comes around, he just tends to fall apart. So we'll see which Iwazaki came to the mound on this game. Well, we start out in the first inning again, Hojo with a walk, and then Egoshi with a home run. So it's his second home run of the series. It's a two-run shot to left field. Not quite as deep as the last one, but they all count the same. So that was great. And then in the fourth inning, we got three runs, and these were largely due to the inexperience of their pitcher and maybe just some poor pitching. So we got ourselves a hit from Nakatani and then a double from Takayama, which, by the way, was his 100th hit of the season. So congratulations on that. It's a good milestone. Runners on second and third, and then they walked Ryota Arai, bases loaded, and Iwazaki is due up, and I'm thinking, oh, please, anything but a double play here, because a double play would have ended the inning without a run. Iwazaki actually kind of pulled a fast one. It was a full count, and he faked bunt, and I think that was just enough to kind of jar the rookie, and he threw a ball. So first run scores, and then Hojo hits a grounder to third and barely breaks up a double play, which I'd been talking about with Iwazaki's at bat, but a run scored on that. And then Yamato came through with a sweet double to the gap in left center. So three runs score. It is 5-0 now. Tigers looking great, but guess what? It's going to get better, because in the bottom of the fifth inning, Haraguchi leads off with a hit, Gomez with a walk, and then Takayama with a three-run home run to left field. It's an oppo field job, so good for him. That's his fourth of the year, and the score now is 8-0. Just a quick note on Gomez's walk. They're already into their relievers here, and Daisuke Yamai, who is just terrible against us, gets Gomez down. I think it was 1-2 or 0-2 in the count, and he was trying everything he could to get the Gomez strikeout. I mean, he was pitching low and outside, all this breaking stuff, and Gomez hung in there and laid off. And I think he was mad, man. I think he was mad that Yamai was trying to toy with him like that. And so when he walked, he kind of threw his bat, not quite in anger, but kind of in an in-your-face kind of way, and made his way to first base. So that was kind of cool. Anyways, back to the scoring, 8-0, and Iwazaki has cruised through six innings. He's allowed five hits at this point and walked just one guy. So pretty good job for him. Unfortunately, after one strikeout to start off the seventh inning, he allowed a solo home run. It was the first career home run for a guy named Kondo. And then after that, he allowed a single, and it was looking like, oh man, he might fall apart. What are we going to do? Like, should we just pull him now? But he induced a double play to end the inning. So he got through seven innings, went 118 pitches, allowing just the one run, the home run, and striking out six and walking just one. So pretty good job for Iwazaki. And Ryoma Matsuda came in to finish off this game with two clean innings, allowing just one hit and striking out one guy. This one ends 8-1. Tigers sweep, Tigers sweep, Tigers sweep. And what a beautiful sweep it was. A huge convincing win. The good thing about this one is also that the Yakult Swallows lost. So that puts a bit of a space between us and them, because they were only a half game back. And also the DeNA BayStars lost. So that shortens the gap between us and them as well. So it's kind of a perfect way to end the week. Good stuff, Tigers, 4-2 on the week, including 1-2 in Hiroshima and 3-0 at home. And guess who picked that with the predictions last week? You're listening to him, T-Ray. Thank you very much, folks. Thank you very much.
Every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
So now we go into our player of the week. Now, normally I do this with Joe, and we each kind of get one shot at choosing a player of the week, and Joe is not with us, but actually I asked him to mail me his choice and let me know who it was, and you know, it actually is a pretty obvious choice, is it not? The guy that had the best week, particularly among the hitters, was Fumiya Hojo. He went 10-for-22 this week. He had a home run, he had a few doubles. He only struck out three times, and he had several walks. He scored four runs. He had six RBI. He stole a base. He hit the one home run. So, you know, what did he not do? The only guy that might come close is Egoshi, but his batting average really leaves a lot to be desired. Egoshi had two home runs this week, but Hojo, just from start to finish, was good all week, other than the one error he had as well. But also, he filled in for Takashi Toritani at shortstop for three games, and that was really important because Toritani has been terrible against lefties, and we really needed Hojo to get the job done. So, thanks, Hojo. We appreciate it. You're the player of the week from me and from Joe. Hunching Tigers, English news. Hunching Tigers, English news. Hunching Tigers, English news. Hunching Tigers, English news. The topic of the week. I'm not sure if you could guess it. Yeah, you can, based on the title of the episode. Anyways, as you all know, Fumiya Hojo replaced Takashi Toritani in the starting lineup for the past three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, against the Chunichi Dragons at Kyocera Dome, because we had left-handed starters on the mound against us for all three games, and Toritani's batting average against lefties this year is unbelievably poor. So, anyways, I actually posed a few questions about Toritani to my friend and yours, Zorni. And I'm going to actually share the questions with you, then we'll listen to what Zorni had to say, and then we will discuss it, or I will discuss it, after what Zorni has said. So, Takashi Toritani is the team captain, and has been since 2013. He plays a very important position, shortstop, and he has been quite good at his position since he has taken control of that position. He played every inning at shortstop for the team from 2012 all the way through the middle of July, or the end of July of this year. So 666 straight games playing every inning. His play has declined as far as defense and as far as offense. And for the first time in almost 5 years, he started the game on the bench. That was against the Hiroshima Carp on July the 24th. The team won that game. Then they played a six-game homestand and went 5-1. He started on the bench for all of that. And then they went into Yokohama, and he started on the bench in that first game as well, and they won that one as well. So they went 7-1 without Toritani in the starting lineup. And then the next game he came in and started, and they lost. And then he played, you know, eight games in the starting lineup. And actually, now he has played three straight without being in the starting lineup, and the team has won all three. So their record with him starting on the bench is 10 wins, one loss. Their record with him not starting on the bench, that is starting on the field or starting in the starting lineup, is 40-57-3. So they're 9 games above 500. When he doesn't start. They're 17 games below 500 when he does start. One of the things that we need to keep in mind about this, though, is that the strength of schedule definitely would indicate that, you know, even if he had been in the starting lineup for those other 11 games, I'm not saying we would have gone 10-1, but we probably would have had a winning record. Anyways, the questions that I asked Zorni were these. How much do you think we should play Toritani moving forward? What cases can you make for both sides to get playing time? Do you think Hojo deserves more playing time than Toritani? Do you think they deserve equal playing time? Do you think Toritani should still get the bulk of the playing time? And I'm talking this year, but I'm also talking for the future. You know, do we want to see Hojo as the starting shortstop right from day one in 2017 or not? Let's listen to what Zorni had to say.
Hey everyone, it's your boy Zorni here, and this time I'm not here to share with you my fantasy update, but I'm here to bring up a hot topic involving one of my fantasy players, Hojo. As you may know, we have a dilemma for the rest of the season and for the upcoming one, which involves Toritani and Hojo playing time. So cut to the chase right away, if we really believe in Kanemoto's plan of complete reform, in my opinion, we should stick to it and change everything. From giving more playing time to younger players to develop themselves and to bench any player that is not performing accordingly. And by saying that, I'm saying any player, including our captain. To be honest, it really doesn't matter to me how much the guy is making or has left in his contract. By the way, Toritani still has 3 years left. If he's not performing, bring someone who can. What does that mean? It means that the majority of playing time should be given to Hojo and not to Tory Boy. It was very clear, and still is, how big the impact was to the team when Toritani was benched. Our record without him is 9-1 and still improving. I'll take some mistakes by Hojo, but not much by Toritani at this point. Shortstop is a very demanding position and age does matter. Hojo is 21 and Toritani 35. It's time for the captain to sit a little bit longer and start mentoring our little guy for the future. On the other hand, he's hitting better coming from the bench. He's 6-9 in the first 8 games. Probably trying to make a good impression and tell people that he's still reliable. So I think in the end we have a good scenario coming up in which the competition for the position will bring the best of both players.
All right, thanks, Zorni. I really love your insight. I love the way that you make these comments. You sound like you're working for ESPN or some other sports TV show. I mean, you got the jargon down. You got the cadence down what you say. I love it. So I really do agree with a lot of that, though. You know, Hojo is coming up. He's 21 years old. You know, he's had a lot of playing time this year. He's shown a lot of maturity of late as well, I find. He's been a little bit cooler under pressure. He hasn't had as many errors. Keep in mind, too, shortstop is his natural position. That's the position we drafted him at. That's the position we were hoping he would eventually be able to play. So, yeah, it was nice to see him get all those RBIs this week. I think it was 6 or 7 RBI. And it seems like up until recently, he's been really nervous at the plate when there have been runners in scoring position, but he's really gotten into a good groove here, and I think that he's capable of continuing that. So I really like that. Again, like I said a little bit earlier, Toritani was on the bench, or started on the bench, for 3 games against the Swallows, for 6 games against the Dragons, and 1 against DNA and 1 against the Carp. So the fact that we went 10-1 of those games is not entirely surprising. But I will say that I think the team stepped up their game in his absence, and whether that was just as Kanemoto said, that the player said, oh, without Toritani in there, someone else has to step up. Well, it better be me. I'm kind of skeptical of that. I really don't think that Toritani had been stepping up all year, so I don't think players were going, what are we going to do in his absence? Who's going to walk, right? So I don't think that's the issue. I do, however, think that the team has a different atmosphere when he's on the bench, and I don't know what it is. I just feel like there's a little bit more of a positive vibe, a little bit more energy, a little bit more youth maybe. But you know, just as Zorni said, if this year is truly going to be one of ultra reform, if this is the Cho Henkaku year, then we need to continue to bench Toritani without fear. And I would say that probably means benching him anytime that we are starting against a lefty pitcher. And that includes Tuesday against the Hiroshima Carp, because I think we're going to be facing Chris Johnson. I say, give it a try. Bench Tori, see what happens. And if we win, now we've got controversy on our hands. especially if Hojo does something in Torii's place at shortstop. So, I would say, honestly, anytime we've got a lefty pitcher on the mound against us, bench Torii. Just see how it goes. I mean, we have nothing to lose the rest of the way. It's not like we're playing for the pennant here. We are playing for a playoff spot, but I don't think the difference between us making it and not is putting Torii Tani in the starting lineup or not. I mean, he hasn't been the difference maker up to this point, certainly not in a positive way. So if we start him on the bench against lefties and bring him in as a pinch hitter, which, as Zorni said, he's been really good at, you know, he's got a good batting average there. He's got a good eye. And so when they bring in relievers who might be a bit shaky and who might be feeling the pressure with the game on the line, he could draw the walk that could really start a rally or put more pressure on the other pitcher. He's also got fresh legs at the end of the game, so he can steal a base if we need that. He does have the potential of hitting, clutch RBIs or whatever it might be at the end of games as well. So I don't mind the formula of putting him on the bench to start games, especially against lefties. As for next year, I don't care about his contract either, and that he is getting 400 million yen per year through 2019, I believe. Who cares? And who cares if he's captain? I mean, Shinobu Fukuhara is the captain of the pitching squad, and he's been down on the Nigun squad almost this whole year. So I don't think there's any fear of benching Torii Tani too much or anything like that. And now that his inning streak, which was ridiculous, now that that's gone, there's no reason to feel this weird pressure to continue to play him or whatever. And honestly, if his slumping ways continue, or if it just so happens that we don't need him in any given match, I don't care if they put an end to his full Iron Man streak, because, man, honestly, he's playing below replacement level baseball this year. And, you know, at age 35, I don't care if he's in really good shape. I don't care if he keeps himself in prime condition. I mean, you look at guys like Ichiro, who's 42, and, you know, he's getting part-time work playing right field with the Florida Marlins. Now, at shortstop, Torii Tani plays a very demanding position. You need fresh legs. You do need to be in prime condition. And Torii Tani does keep himself in great shape. However, it's a more physically demanding position than what Ichiro plays. And I don't think we can expect Torii Tani to be the everyday shortstop in 2017 and beyond. I say give Hojo lots of opportunity. The only way that you want to give Torii Tani more time at shortstop is maybe if Nishioka continues to injure himself, which is definitely a strong possibility. In that case, we may need somebody over at second base. Otherwise, I say we ride the kid. He's starting to pull the ball a bit more. He's starting to hit with more authority. He's starting to be more selective with his pitches as well. I say ride Hojo. You know, he is the shortstop of the future. Torii Tani, hate to say it, buddy, you're the shortstop of the past. So that's my take. We want to know what your take is too. Give us your comments.
Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
So, we just finished three games at Kyocera Dome. We've got two more at Kyocera Dome, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we're off for Thursday. We'll be hosting the Hiroshima Carp for two. Then, for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we head out to Tokyo to face the Yomiuri Giants at Tokyo Dome for three. By the way, for those of you that are setting your schedules based on what time the games will be at, keep in mind that even though we've been playing evening games on Saturday and Sunday of late, the series against the Giants, the Saturday and Sunday games will be held in the afternoon, I believe at 2 p.m. So set your alarm clocks or, you know, set your TVs or whatever to that schedule so that you don't miss those games. So I talked to Joe just by email. He said he thinks that we will go 1-1 against the Carp, and then we'll go 2-1 against the Giants. He's saying a 3-2 week. By the way, we will probably be facing Chris Johnson, as well as, I would guess, once again, maybe Yuya Fukui for the Carp. And then against the Giants, I'm not exactly sure, but I know that the tail end of their rotation this week included Miles Michaelis on Sunday. So it looks like we could be facing him. And then we might have Otake, who pitched on Saturday for them. And then also, it looks like Takagi was their pitcher on Friday. Takagi, we struggled against a lot last year, and I think the first one or two this year, but we actually seem to have figured him out last time. Otake, I don't think we should have much of a problem with, but Michaelis, we might. Anyways, I am actually going to say that we take one out of two from Hiroshima and only one out of three from the Giants. I wish it weren't so, but I just kind of feel like they've got our number. They have it even worse in our barn than in theirs. But I just kind of feel like, man, maybe it's time for them to even things up. We're 5-4 in Tokyo Dome this year. If we go 1-2 here, we'll end 6-6 on the year. And actually, those are our last three games at Tokyo Dome this year. But I'd love to see us go 2-1, but I'm going to say 1-2. So there you have it. This has been a little bit of a tough show because it's me all by myself. I don't have a lovely co-host to bounce things off of. I don't get to kind of catch my breath or save my breath while somebody else shares with you. And you also don't get to hear a variety of voices on the show. So my apologies. Hopefully next week, me and Joe both be healthy. We're back at you, talking to you about Hanshin Tigers, hopefully celebrating some big wins against the upper echelon of the league. Until then, please do stay in touch with us. Give us your opinion about the Takashi Toritani fiasco. How much should we use him the rest of the year? How much should we use him next year? Is Hojo the guy to replace him for good at shortstop or not? Where do you see Hojo hitting in the batting order? All that kind of stuff. It would be great to hear from you. Hit us up on Facebook, Hanshin Tigers English News page. Hit us up on Twitter, at the Hanshin Tiger. Hit us up by email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Love to hear from you. In the meantime, enjoy your week. Enjoy your baseball. Enjoy your Olympics. Enjoy your Koshien baseball. It's a busy sports week. Stay inside where there's lots of AC and it's nice and cool. See you in a week.
ありがとうって今は言わせて